T-Mobile has invested billions to light up America's largest 5G network, from big cities to small towns, including right here in yours. And great coverage is just the beginning. Right now, families and small businesses can save up to 20% versus AT&T and Verizon when they switch. Visit your local T-Mobile store today.
Plan savings with 3 lines of T-Mobile Essentials versus comparable available plans. Plan features and taxes and fees may vary.
It's time for MLB Pitch, Hit, and Run, the official youth skills competition of Major League Baseball. Host a local event and give kids in your community a chance to compete in the Pitch, Hit, and Run finals at the 2024 MLB World Series. Sign up for free at pitchhitrun.com.
All right, well, let's bring in Sam Monson from Pro Football Focus, their lead analyst, and he joins us on the North Olmsted Chrysler Jeep Dodge Ram Hotline. Sam, you just heard us talking about the comments from Ross Tucker yesterday. You talk about guys, and I know you were just discussing this recently in regards to guys that are make-or-break years, Sam Darnold, Josh Allen, Baker Mayfield is in that category as well. What do you make of the Browns this year? And not only that, but obviously taking into account the fact that they're not going to be able to get on the field as much as they would like heading into this season.
Yeah, that last part is obviously a huge variable at play with all of the stuff. But I think the offseason for Cleveland was big because they spent the entire time basically checking off all the possible problems outside of Baker Mayfield. So, you know, last year Baker took a big step backwards, but there were so many other problems as well. Obviously, the scheme, the offense, the general coaching, everything was a disaster, and people lost their jobs over it. But pass protection was a problem as well. So they go hard after tackles in the draft and in free agency. You bring over a guy like Jack Conklin, who should shore up the right tackle spot. You draft a tackle in the first round that should hopefully solve that spot, though, you know, that's a little bit of a bigger question mark. First round tackles don't always hit the ground running, but in theory, you've fixed those positions. You bring in a guy like Austin Hooper that enables you to run the two tight end sets that Kevin Stefanski's offense is so reliant on, and you bring in that offense in and of itself, which has this proven track record of getting good years out of quarterbacks. So really now, everything other than Baker Mayfield has been solved from a season ago. So now all the pressure goes back on Baker, and it's, okay, you've been set up in a position to succeed this year in a way you weren't a season ago. Now you need to show us that you're the guy we thought you were when we drafted you number one overall. And I think he's got the talent to do that, but it's definitely a prove-it year for him.
You know, when you look at Odell Beckham Jr. And what he's done since really – the catch, right, against the Cowboys years ago. He hasn't quite been the same player. I don't necessarily know why. Maybe it was Eli. Maybe it was the scheme. Maybe it's being in Cleveland. Who knows? Injuries, too, of course. Do you think he's still a legitimate top five, top 10 wide receiver, and you think he'll bounce back this year?
I think he can be. There's no reason. None of the things that made him a top five caliber receiver have disappeared. He still has all the athleticism in the world. He's still got the, you know, absurd catching ability. I think there's maybe Julio Jones might be the only receiver in the NFL who's just a more gifted receiver in terms of natural talent than Odell Beckham. But Beckham might have more natural ability than any of these other guys. So I don't think there's any reason he can't get back to that level. I think obviously injuries started to play a part in his career. And I think Eli Manning suffering the decline he did certainly didn't help. And along with everybody else, I think we expected him going to Cleveland last year and being united with Baker Mayfield, who's just a fundamentally more accurate quarterback than Eli Manning, was going to be a huge thing for him. But he had to deal with the hernia injury, and him and Baker Mayfield just were not able to get on the same page at any point in the season. You know, I've very rarely seen a quarterback and wide receiver so consistently on different pages in terms of, you know, Baker would throw a post and Odell Beckham would run a dig, and they were just in different spots constantly throughout the entire season and never seem to get that together. That, I think, is big. I don't know what needs to get connected there between the two of them, but they need to figure out and get mentally on the same page this year in a way they just weren't a season ago. But I think fundamentally, all the things we liked about this connection this time a year ago are still there. Baker Mayfield is still a very talented quarterback with immense natural accuracy, and Odell Beckham Jr. is still a phenomenally talented wide receiver who should be a great target for Baker to connect with. So I think in theory the connection is still there, and everything else around those two is better now than it was a season ago.
Sam Monson, Pro Football Focus, is our guest. Of course, Pro Football Focus just released their fantasy guide this week, so you can certainly get that as well. And certainly when we talk about fantasy and stars and quarterbacks, obviously it begins and ends pretty much with Patrick Mahomes. Let's start with that contract, Sam, because I think initially when the news came out about that big deal, it was, you know, wow, what a great deal for the Chiefs. And there were some kind of whispers that, wow, did Mahomes leave some money on the table? Which I thought once the details came out, it ended up working out for both sides, which in this case, in a lot of cases, maybe it doesn't, but in this case it did. What do you what'd you make of the Mahomes contract, and do you feel that he left some money on the table?
Yeah, I agree with you. I think it was win-win, and I think those things can both be true. I think Mahomes made out well from this contract, but he probably also left some money on the table as well, and I don't think that those two things are mutually exclusive. You know, he probably could have maximized, you know, a dollar figure per year, you know, or if they'd have attacked that contract the way the Kirk Cousins contracts have been done, you know, shorter term deals, but fully guaranteed and maximum dollar value and a shot to do it all again in a few years' time, he would have probably earned a significantly higher average per year. But on the other hand, he's going to take home $500 million over the next decade. And it's pretty tough to argue with that. I mean, a relatively low portion of that is fully, truly guaranteed. But the way the deal is structured, it's going to be practically impossible for the Chiefs to get out of that deal at any point unless Mahomes, you know, suffers some kind of career-ending injury or an absolutely catastrophic collapse in his play that is very difficult to see happening. And even at that point, the Chiefs would have to eat, you know, multiple years' worth of money to make that happen. They're going to have to sacrifice, you know, an $80 million cash and cap hit to get rid of him at any point. So in practical terms, that deal is pretty much fully guaranteed, at which point it's very hard to say that signing up to a $500 million contract at this point in time, given the way the world is, you know, with COVID and the uncertainty of all the landscape, is a bad deal for the player just because he didn't maximize every last dollar in terms of average per season.
Sam, what do you think about the, you know, the signing of Cam Newton to New England? Do you think that's a good match or no?
I mean, I think it's an absolute bargain for the Patriots. I don't know that they were that interested in Cam Newton up until the point that it just became too big a bargain to turn down. You know, they signed into a contract where even if he's the league MVP and they win a Super Bowl, it only costs him $7.5 million, which is nothing. You know, it's a fraction. It's a backup quarterback contract in essence. So I think they just reached the point where they couldn't turn down the value. But because they had Jarrett Stidham was their slated starter, obviously Cam Newton is in the driving seat for that starting job because, you know, he's a former MVP. His ceiling is clearly higher than anything that they had with Stidham. So I think it's a really intriguing match. We know Cam Newton is talented. We know he's got a unique skill set that no other quarterback has. And it's going to be really interesting to see how Bill Belichick and Josh McDaniels mesh with what Cam Newton brings, because obviously it's so different to the skill set that Tom Brady brought, but potentially, you know, no less potent over a single season.
Sam Monson, Pro Football Focus, is our guest. And, Sam, there were some talk out there as far as the Dak Prescott deal that, well, the deal that hasn't happened yet, but is Dak Prescott affected? It doesn't seem like Dak Prescott, and I could be wrong here, and if I am, certainly you'll correct me, it doesn't seem like Dak Prescott is looking for this type of deal. I mean, anyone would love the security, but isn't he, in fact, kind of looking more for a shorter, maybe Kirk Cousins-like deal in this case?
Yeah, I think that's true. I think Dak Prescott wants that style of contract. So honestly, I don't think that the contract really affects it at all. There aren't that many quarterbacks that are even, you know, even possible to attach to the kind of the contract that Mahomes did. Maybe Lamar Jackson, if Jackson has another year or two the way he did last season. You know, maybe a guy like Kyler Murray, if he takes a huge leap forward in year two and comes the next transcendent quarterback. But you need a guy that you're 100% confident in being basically the best quarterback in the league for the next decade to even think about a contract like this. So I think Dak Prescott wants a much shorter, much more guaranteed deal. And I think the Cowboys want a shorter deal than that as well. I don't think they would want to tie him down to that kind of contract either. So ultimately, I just don't think he's in the same ballpark as this kind of contract. And the absolute maximum that it will do is inflate the average per year on Dak's deal just a little bit. But it sounds like they were already struggling to come to an agreement on what that number should be anyway. So ultimately, it probably doesn't have too much of a bearing on the negotiations with Dak Prescott.
Sam, where can folks find that fantasy football guide? Obviously, that makes us all feel good, because if a fantasy football guide's coming out, then damn it, they have to play football. So where can fans get that football guide, fantasy football guide?
That's definitely, yeah, that's the logic we're working on. If we throw out the fantasy football guide, they have to start the season. Otherwise, it would just be unfair. If you go to pff.com and then /pff-offers, you will find the discount code. Fantasy40 will get you 40% off the fantasy guide and PFF subscriptions, and that's the best way of diving in and getting all the good stuff.
Sam, great stuff as always. Keep up the good work, and we'll talk to you soon, pal. Thanks for the time.
Thanks, guys. Take it easy.
T-Mobile has invested billions to light up America's largest 5G network, from big cities to small towns, including right here in yours. And great coverage is just the beginning. Right now, families and small businesses can save up to 20% versus AT&T and Verizon when they switch. Visit your local T-Mobile store today.
Plan savings with 3 lines of T-Mobile Essentials versus comparable available plans. Plan features and taxes and fees may vary.